Welcome to ITB's Travel Hero podcast. I am again your host, Charlotte Lamb Davies, with management consultancy A Bright Approach. Today we are delighted to welcome Stephen Dutton, who's client insights research manager at Euromonitor. Euromonitor International is the world's leading independent provider of strategic and global market research. It has 16 offices worldwide, and Euromonitor conducts in-depth analysis on consumer goods and service industries in more than 210 countries. Travel is one of the 40 industries with Euromonitor International covers. And Stephen, this is not your first ITB participation, so tell us why you think that we've asked you back.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot, Charlotte, for that introduction, and thanks to ITB for having me back. It's a pleasure to be back. I really enjoy these types of conversations and the chance to talk about what we're researching. And one of those topics is, of course, blended travel. And I think the reason I've been asked back is just because blended travel has become not only this huge sort of post-pandemic opportunity, but because we're trying to kind of show a spotlight or cast a spotlight on the topic and how it's connected to sustainable travel in the context of sort of building back better in the travel rebound after the pandemic. And because it's so positive, because this message is so good, I think for the long-term benefits of travel building back into something more sustainable, it's become very, very exciting. And so this is building on some research that we did. We published a report on this, really first looking at where bleisure stood. Bleisure is this older term that we've been using, and now it's become blended travel. But looking at what bleisure was, what blended travel now is, trying to navigate what blended travel is, in that report that we published about a year ago. But then, as we were sort of, we were asked to come to ITB and present in March, and I had the pleasure of doing a keynote presentation on blended travel in the future work track at ITB in Berlin. And, when we were kind of putting together the materials for that, we realized that there's a bigger story here, actually, again, connecting these developments with the sustainable travel rebound. And because that's sort of the sweet spot, I think everybody wants to know about how travel is building it back better. How can we make travel more sustainable, in the post-pandemic context? It's become very exciting. So I think, again, putting a spotlight on that development and trying to promote it. And I think that's why I've been asked back.
It is indeed. And I must say that it was a very, very popular session back at ITB Berlin. So all of the research that was aiding you to actually hold your keynote was very, very well received. So we once again thank you for your time back in March. And indeed, today is, if anybody is in any doubt, all about blended travel. So I'm very excited to dive a little bit deeper into this very important topic. And let's further just set the scene a little bit, because just to ensure sure that we're all speaking the same language. You mentioned the word bleisure, and I actually thought it was called bleisure until relatively recently. The whole thing just went into that pot for me. But luckily, ChatGPT has kind of helped me a little. But actually, would you mind telling us, sort of in your words, what the difference really between bleisure and blended travel is?
Sure, absolutely. And so this is again, I think that was the initial interest that we had in producing a new report on this topic, as because bleisure as an opportunity isn't really what it used to be anymore. And we realized now there is a preferred term in blended travel. And so we wanted to navigate those differences. So bleisure, if we think about what bleisure really was, it was built on a model that where it really existed in the pre-pandemic context. So the old sort of travel system as we knew it before the pandemic changed everything. So bleisure is effectively, that opportunity was effectively looking to find incremental moments of leisure on the back end of a traditional business trip. So obviously, the business trips in the classic sense were very predictable. There were lots of them. It was a very robust way to travel. And so to find ways to find growth in the industry, to eke out sort of incremental value in the travel space, bleisure was interesting because, you could tack on a couple of extra days on a business trip for leisure purposes. And that's a way, again, to kind of grow the pot, to increase the spend per trip, et cetera. But as the pandemic arrived, that really changed everything. But what it really had a really strong and permanent impact on is that sort of classic business trip. You know, business trips are happening. They're coming back to some extent, but nowhere near the numbers of what it looked like in 2019. And there are a lot of reasons for that. I mean, you know, the nature of the way we work has changed dramatically since 2019, since before the pandemic. And the need to travel for business just isn't there in the same way it used to be. So that's what blended travel sort of comes into play. That sort of leisure model doesn't exist. I mean, it does exist, but not to the same extent that it does. Instead, in its wake, we're seeing in a post-pandemic context, an emerging sort of array of opportunities to really change the way people blur the lines between work and leisure in the context of a trip. So if leisure was really incremental moments of leisure on a business trip, now I think people are looking to leisure as a more primary motivator for taking a trip, but they're using business in the background as a means to facilitate it. So it's really shifting the sort of motivation from business first to rather leisure first, and then finding different ways to leverage business to make that happen. And that's possible because of all the greater, you know, levels of flexibility that we now have in the workplace. So that's the key difference.
Okay, and I know we're going to also during our chat get onto sort of the sustainability issues as well, but give us some concrete examples of blended travel for our audience, possibly.
Sure. So there are an emerging sort of spectrum of opportunities, and we're looking at all the different channels that a consumer or a traveler might have to do blended travel. On the one hand, as I mentioned, we do still have classic pleasure, but pleasure is just one sort of element of this. So again, people are still traveling for business, even if it's less often, and they still want to tack on some extra time to do leisure. So that's still happening. But on top of that, you know, you also have all kinds of different things. So we're looking at, you know, digital nomads and freelance workers in the classic sense who have sort of inherent flexibility in their jobs and the way they work. And so looking at capturing that audience. We're also looking at the workplace in general, all of the different benefits that have emerged in the wake of the pandemic. So work from anywhere sort of as a working benefit has you know, grown rapidly. So looking to use those days to work wherever you can and wherever you want to. And that's a new flexibility that's emerged. Workcations is another buzzy term that's come out, but it's effectively travel operators looking to create and target, you know, consumers on a package of solutions to work and on a trip and do blended travel. We're looking at work from home too, and all the opportunities to just travel locally. I think that's kind of an interesting idea too. And finally, corporate retreats has become kind of an interesting example. So you have all of these companies worldwide who have created more flexibility, whether it's working from home options or it's, you know, they're often casting a wider net and hiring from not just within their own cities now, but hiring permanent remote workers because it can be better for the dynamics of their business to hire, you know, from outside their city. But that means there's also a need to bring them together from time to time. So a business might, you know, send everybody together to a destination for a week and run some sort of induction trainings maybe, or they might do some annual gathering of some sort. And then you can imagine all of the different ways that people will be able to blur the lines of, you know, work and leisure on that trip. So these are the kinds of opportunities that we're looking at in that broader spectrum.
And we can probably safely say here that a lot of these opportunities have come about on the back of the terrible pandemic, but in actual fact, it's opened up, you know, new opportunities and new conversations around how we live our lives and fit work and privacy together and actually get possibly a better balance. Have you taken a sort of a blended trip? And if so, any anecdotes, pain points?
Yeah. So definitely. I think, so just to give you an example, my own company, Euromonitor, in the wake of the pandemic has also gotten more flexible than we used to be. So two new benefits that we have as employees now include the ability to work from home more often. That's not a surprise. I think a lot of companies are doing that. But the other big benefit, and that's more interesting here, is the idea of work from anywhere days. That's what I was saying before, which means that we have 15 working days where we can work and in theory, anywhere in the world for those days. And it's as if we were working from the office. So for someone like me, I think that's really attractive in one way, because I'm from the US, but I live in Germany. So when I, you know, take my vacation days, often that means I'm going home to visit my family and friends in Boston, where I'm from. And so now, when I had to do that before the pandemic, you know, I might have 1 or 2 weeks of vacation days that I could squeeze out for that purpose. And then I would have a shorter trip designed in order to visit friends and family. But now, because I have this greater flexibility in the way I work, you know, remotely, that 1 or 2 week trip has become a 3 to 4 week trip. And so I'm able to stay now in the Boston area, see all my friends and family, and that's really wonderful, and spend a more meaningful time with them. But additionally, I can also take, you know, smaller trips from there. So using it as a launch pad to take a long weekend in Cape Cod or go to Northern New England to the mountains or something like that. And those are incremental opportunities too. So this has changed the way that I approach, you know, my own vacations as I used to as well, into something that is actually better for travel. So I'm spending more in the destination. You know, naturally, I'm spending more time in that destination. Naturally, these are really good things for the destination themselves. That's just one. I mean, that's my experience. It's not so unique, actually. But if you think about, you know, that's not a drastic change, except for the flexibility that I have and the time I'm able to spend on that trip. But I have colleagues now leveraging their 15 work from anywhere days in all kinds of different ways. I have a colleague who booked a trip to the south of France. They're going to go for a week and just simply work there during the day, take hikes in the evening, go to the beach in the morning. I mean, that's what a wonderful way to spend your week. And so there's lots of different things there.
Yeah, and I'm very sure that the benefits are not necessarily that obvious, or you might not even be able to sit and write a big report about it. But the benefits of actually giving your employers, you know, these 15 days of working from wherever, whether it's spending more time with their parents from where they're at home, but you know, it's just that little bit of extra time, it's that little bit of extra luxury that you have an extra few evenings, although you are working during the day. I know that I've done blended travel, because as some know, I'm from Denmark and my family is in Denmark, and now I add on extra time when I go back, because if I have a computer and I have internet, you know, my consultancy is thriving. So again, there's no urgency of coming back at a particular time, and you mix the two. I absolutely love it. And great for people to also understand the differences here.
So just, you mentioned pain points too, though. I think it's important to highlight that, because, you know, when we talk about, you know, going home to our families, that's a place that we know is probably well set up for our ability to work from there. But for other colleagues who are trying to find a place, you know, new to travel to, they are trying to navigate whether they're even able to work from that place that they booked or not. And that's not always easy. And I think this is where we have a long ways to go in terms of pain points that does exist. So the more that, you know, a travel operator can do to highlight those benefits, the better, to help the consumer navigate those options and decide, is this even feasible or not?
Exactly. And that's maybe the word, because if you have an opportunity to actually explore a little bit before signing any contracts, you will be much more likely to find, you know, the right destination for you, if indeed that you are looking actually to work from somewhere new. Can we talk a little bit about equitable in-destination spending? Because now we've both touched on it sort of in the periphery. Sure. But really sort of, you know, how is this all a part of more sustainable? We kind of work it out, but let's talk about how this is part of sustainable travel.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is the exciting bit, I think, that, you know, again, we talked about these new developments and new opportunities, and that's exciting for its own sake. But now we're making a connection with a model that is working towards something that is more durable, more sustainable, and as you said, more equitable in terms of the spending going into a destination. And so what we realized, that all of these different emerging opportunities, there is a sort of profile that we can create now about the kind of consumer, the kind of traveler doing blended travel. And these are all sort of factors that tend to be really attractive for a destination. So for example, travelers who do blended travel tend to be more digitally savvy, and they tend to be higher income earners simply on the basis of their flexibility and the nature of their jobs. So obviously, if you can work remotely from your computer, that means you probably have, you know, that savviness, and you are probably, you know, working for a company with higher pay, et cetera. So that allows you to then have more flexibility in the way you spend in the destination. But other interesting things have emerged too. So the idea that, again, if your motivation isn't driven by the need to travel for business, but rather your own desires for leisure, then that means you don't have to travel at any one specific time, but rather you can travel at any time, whatever works for you necessarily. So we're moving away from the bottlenecks then that are created by this old pattern of traditional business trips. And so we're creating, you know, more off-season trips and more off-season opportunities. That's really good to diversify and ease that sort of bottleneck of travel flows. Mm-hmm. We're also looking at more diverse destinations too, and working away from over tourism. So you can go anywhere. You don't have to go to a specific city or a specific destination when you're doing this kind of blended travel. And again, because we're thinking about the motivation side of it, you know, we're looking at, you know, travelers who are more motivated to travel in a better way, let's say. So they're more driven by their own values. They want to go to a place because, you know, they're driven by the experience of that new experience of traveling there. Yeah. They're looking to do experiences themselves. They're effectively living like locals wherever they're going to go. So in my instance, if I'm traveling to 3 or 4 weeks, effectively I'm a local for those 3 or 4 weeks. That means I'm not just spending on tourism things. I'm also spending at the supermarket, and I'm going to cafes and restaurants, and I'm effectively living, and I need access to all the same services that locals do too. So you can see how we're also thinking about this, not in terms of just the opportunity in travel, but really the destinations themselves really benefiting. You're seeing equitable spending opportunities across the spectrum of the way locals spend. And that's the footprint then of a blended traveler in that place. And so, you know, hopefully I explained that clearly, but you can see the benefits, I think.
Yeah, and rather than the sort of quick in, quick out,
exactly,
you're actually contributing something to the actual economy that you're visiting.
Right.
Should we talk a little bit about the destinations themselves? Because you just touched on that. What are they doing specifically, do you think, at the minute to attract the new blended traveler?
Well, at the time that we presented, I would say, at ITB in March, one of the talking points was that there's a lot happening, but if we look at the bigger picture, there's still there's still way more to go, let's say. So there is still a lot of thinking about what blended travel even is. You know, how do we promote this as a destination? Is this good for me as a destination, et cetera? So we're making the case that it is and that it should be promoted. So I think that's maybe point one, is that destinations still have a long way to go before we're really able to kind of get in on that and move forward as with blended travel as an opportunity. But as you said, there are, you know, things happening. I think blended travel, again, if it's very attractive for a destination, there's lots of things that they can do to get up and running. That includes things like maybe the regulation side. Maybe you're incentivizing mm-hmm. people to come to your destination, your city, your country, to make mm-hmm. that easier for them. Maybe that includes working visas. That can be a tricky thing to navigate, but you can make that easier, specifically within the blended travel context. It means also working with your travel partners in the destination to have their offerings become more attractive to blended travel people as well. So as I said, you know, maybe the booking operators can do more to make that easier to navigate for someone booking their trip. Maybe that means the hotels are able to build more of that infrastructure into their offerings, maybe a second screen, you know, Wi-Fi, a proper place to sit and to work from, just to make that more feasible in the end. A lot of little things that can be done then to improve the attractiveness for blended travel. And then, of course, then the next step is to, or maybe the first step, is to layer that into the way you market yourselves as well. And I think if you frame it within the context of this is also good for the local economy, this is also good for more sustainable travel behavior and a shift away from mass tourism, then what a great message that is. And I think you can, if you're a DMO, you can layer that into your the way you market yourself as an attractive place to be.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very, very sold on this, but I think I was already into the whole bleisure thing. I always added on extra days when I was on a business trip.
Me too.
Because I was just simply so excited to always get to know a destination a little bit more than just from a conference center, basically. Yeah. But hopefully this is getting a lot of travelers thinking about things in a more sustainable way. It's sort of nearing a sort of a wrap-up time, but I'm wondering, We touched a little bit on the office, but almost not. What is the future of the office, if there is such a thing? And, you know, I think I know the answer here. does a return to the office actually mean a return of classic business travel, in your view?
So, to some extent, yes. But to another extent, no. I think we are seeing traditional business travel coming back, for sure, to some extent. But I don't think we're ever going to see it come to the extent that we saw it in 2019. There are many permanent changes that companies have made that just simply don't need to have so many business trips in the end. And that includes, you know, all of the sort of digital communication technologies that have proven to work now. And also, it's hard to, once you've layered in so much flexibility over so many years now, I don't think it's easy just to rein it back and to go right back to the way you operated as a business. And that might even just be because, as I mentioned before, you know, companies are hiring more, you know, from diverse locations now, and then you just have a more diverse sort of profile as a company. So I think it's impossible to go exactly back to where it was. And I don't think that's going to happen by any means. So to some extent, flexibility is here to stay, whether it's to the same extent as it was, you know, last year or this year. But that means blended travel is here to stay too, because those flexible options, you know, if they exist, you have consumers who spent years wanting to travel. You know, there's the pent up demand that is real, and people want to get back out there, yeah. And they're trying to find the right way to do it. And they realize that if they can blur the lines between the way they work and the way they want to travel, then it's much easier for them. So I think the sort of outlook for blended travel is quite good. And I think it's a big opportunity.
I would absolutely have to agree. And of course, you know, the next generations keep coming through, right? And they will have a very specific idea of how they want to mix work and pleasure. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you today. We're nearly out of time, so I think this sort of brings us to a conclusion on this month's podcast. What I really hope is that all of our listeners will soon have some tales to tell of blended travel, and that it is in some way really going to help us with our carbon footprints. We do have to be much more considerate when it comes to our travel. And Stephen, once again, it has been an absolute pleasure. You were a true podcast hero. So thanks for joining me today.
Thank you. Thanks again for having me.
I should say that Stephen has also written an article, or is about to write an article on the topic, and we will certainly be publishing this in the coming weeks on the ITB website. So please, if you could take a few minutes and dive into the subject a little deeper to further educate yourself, we think you might not regret it. So it remains for me to thank our audience, as always, for listening. You can also find many more Travel Hero podcasts on the ITB website. And please don't forget to tune in next month, where we will have a look at the LGBT communities and how they are carving out new opportunities in travel. So it remains for me to once again say thank you, Stephen.
Yes, thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Stay great. And to everyone else, stay well and stay tuned.